Welcome to Always and Forever, a spoiler-free One Tree Hill podcast where we analyze and dissect the greatest teen show from the early 2000s.
This week we are discussing Songs to Love and Die By, the 10th episode of Season 4, which was written by the creator and showrunner, directed by John Asher, and originally aired on the CW on December 6th, 2006. It's a Christmas episode, baby.
Kind of.
Kind of, even though it does not take place around Christmas.
I know.
But they're watching It's a Wonderful Life on TV anyway.
Yes. And according to the episode description in our OTH DVD box sets, this is the one when, while the Christmas classic It's a Wonderful Life plays on the hospital monitors, a gravely ill Lucas sees what Tree Hill would be without him, with Keith as his guide.
Somebody told me that this is the place where everything's better and everything's safe.
Living in an alternate reality, I'm Caitlin Elenich.
And I'm Jeremy Rodriguez.
I love the sound effects.
that melody is just living like in my head since I watched this episode, honestly.
I know. It really does stick with you.
Yeah. So I want to know, have you ever seen It's a Wonderful Life?
I have not.
Neither have I. Okay, so you and I have this in common. But I mean, everybody knows the story of it. It's like part of the pop culture zeitgeist. And I've seen like other TV episodes based on it, like the Rugrats being a cultural touchstone for me personally.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't think I remember that.
There's an episode where Chucky like basically imagines like what life would have been like if like he was never born, and like, you know, Tommy is like all neglected by his parents for some reason. I don't remember anything else about it, but I remember it being a thing.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And honestly, I really don't like this episode of One Tree Hill, I should say.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. Well, and we'll get into it, but
interesting.
Did you like it?
I did, actually.
Okay.
And I don't typically like episodes that are, quote unquote, like alternate reality episodes where you're, you know, kind of placed outside of the story and you're seeing like what could be if one thing changed. I don't typically like, because I feel like I've seen episodes of TV like this. I know the OC had one that was kind of similar. And I know there's a bunch of other TV shows.
Well, One Tree Hill had one in season two.
Yeah, true. And I don't think I liked that one, actually.
I like that one, personally. But I understand it's not everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah. But I don't know. This one kind of surprised me, rewatching it on its own.
Okay.
So we'll get to that.
Yeah, let's get to it. But first, let's talk about the album this episode is titled after. It is titled after Songs to Love and Die By, is it 8mm or 8mm? I'm not entirely sure.
I know. I was wondering the same thing.
Yeah, I just realized that now. But anyway, 8mm is the name of the bands or whatever. Honestly, like, you know, full disclosure, I did not listen to the album, but just based on the song titles, like, there's songs like Bones, Never Enough, Angel. It's pretty much, like, there's some, like, common threads throughout the episode, just the idea about, like, guardian angels, you know, and death in general, I should say.
Forever and ever, amen.
Yeah. There's some, like, I feel like there's some, like, some religious undertones too going on.
Yeah, there is kind of like a running theme there a little bit. The song. I'm so used to talking about the song, but the album title, Songs to Love and Die By, like, I feel like that connects to the episode because this whole episode is about, well, first off, it's about if Lucas were to die and not never have existed, like, what would that reality be like? And then I think the other theme is about love, because we have several characters' lives hanging in the balance. And like, we have Lucas in the hospital, we have Haley in the hospital, and you're getting to see like how it's affecting the other characters and how their love for them, you know, is it's being affected right now because they don't know what's going to happen next. We also have the Brooke and Peyton friendship too, that, I mean, that's a tough one, but I feel like they're kind of like finding their way back to each other. So I feel like death and love are these big themes going on in the whole thing. We also get Keith back. and that in and of itself kind of expresses the themes, because like obviously Keith died, but then you get to see like Lucas reunited with Keith and see his love for him, and like seeing those characters together again
with special guest star Craig Sheffer.
I know. It's
great to see his face again.
It really was so great. And I think that's why I actually really liked this episode. And I don't feel like in the past, like this episode's never really stood out to me, like in thinking about One Tree Hill episodes in general. And I don't know if I particularly loved it in the past, but I enjoyed it. And I actually enjoyed the concept of it. And I love seeing Craig Sheffer on here again and seeing the Lucas and Keith dynamic. And, you know, we're going to get deeper into the episode. I like kind of how it was a device to get Lucas, getting Lucas to think about Keith's death. And that's all I can really say.
Gotcha. No, it's funny you say that, because you're saying you never really liked it before, and then now you're liking it, analyzing it. I'm the exact opposite. I feel like I liked this episode before, and now after analyzing it for the podcast, I don't like it as much.
Really?
And I feel like it's just because I feel like Lucas is probably the least interested vehicle for a storyline like this. I feel like Nathan would have been a better person for this type of story. And I mean, we even see that happening with Nathan, when like, you know, he's on the bridge and he's like, oh God, I wish I died in that water. And I feel like it would have been like, could you imagine like if this was like from Nathan's perspective, if he was being guided by Keith or something? And like also him figuring out that like, oh, it wasn't Keith who saved me, it was actually me who saved myself. Like, I just don't think Lucas is the most compelling character. Plus, there's a lot of, like, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. Like, the whole idea about how Lucas was, he was the one who saved, like, Nathan and Haley's marriage. But if you think about it, if Lucas, like, never existed, Nathan and Haley probably wouldn't have met in the first place. And then also the whole thing about how, like, you know, Brooke is, like, all depressed because, like, Peyton is dead because Lucas never saved her. But if you think about, like, you know, the grand scheme of things, like, would the school shouldn't have even happened? You know?
Yeah. I don't think you can think so hard about it, if that makes sense. Because then I think you can get tripped up in the details. Those are valid points, though.
And I feel like that's just why it doesn't add up for me, because, and again, like, I feel like, it's not like we've ever seen, like, Lucas ever doubt, like, you know, wanting to be alive before this point. We have seen it to a lesser extent with Nathan. We've seen Nathan have, like, his, like, midlife crisis, quote-unquote. And I just feel like this would have been so much more interesting. Like, I love seeing Chad Michael Murray and Craig Sheffer on screen together. Like, this is, like, a great excuse to see the two of them together again. I do enjoy that, but I just can't help but think, like, this is just not an interesting storyline for Lucas.
I wonder if they had, instead, because Haley was hurt, and Lucas was, you know, having the heart attack, basically, at the same time. I wonder if they had switched it and used Haley, what that could have shown, or if that would have shown anything.
Have Haley be the one going on, like, a little vision quest with Keith? Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there would have been a point to that. It's just a thought I had. Because, like, they're right, both of their lives are in the balance in this episode, so it's, like, one or the other. Who could it be?
But, like, I don't know. It's just, I feel like this, like, the storyline makes Lucas, it seems like they want to make Lucas more important than what he actually is. Like, I'm sorry to say, yes, I know he's the lead of the show, but he's, like, by far, like, the least interested. And, like, and I'm sorry, but, like, I just don't believe that, Lucas telling Peyton that her art matters really had, like, this big domino effect like that. I don't know why I doubt that, but
I feel like I just disagree about okay, all of it. I don't know. I feel like Lucas was an interesting vehicle, not necessarily in terms of, like, I know you mentioned, like, how Nathan struggled with kind of, like, not, like, suicide, like, not wanting, suicidal thoughts, like, not wanting to live, and, like, then maybe we could have someone guide him, like Keith, like, with the whole, you know, the whole storyline where he believes that Keith saved him. I get that. I think that could also have been a really interesting way to show, like, your life matters and it affected people, and I think it could have been done well with Nathan for sure. But I still feel like the use of Lucas in this episode to me was still interesting, and I think it was pivotal moment when Lucas told Peyton that her art matters. So I think that did kind of give her the confidence moving forward that she wouldn't have gotten from anyone else necessarily.
Because Peyton needs a man to validate her. That's what this comes down to.
Yeah. You can definitely look at it like that. You can look at it like that. I'm not going to disagree.
And it's just like, come on. Like, Brooke never validated Peyton's art or anything like
not
that.
Not really.
I don't know.
Jake didn't really. I mean, not as much. I feel like Lucas, to me, was the person who validated it the most.
I mean, yeah, her art mattered. That's what got him there.
Okay, now you're hating on him for no good reason.
I don't, like, hate this episode. It's not, like, a 2 or a 1 out of 5. I will say that. But, like, yeah, I just have some issues with it, you know? I feel like this could have been better, personally.
I think there's just, like, the larger message here about your life, meaning, like, just you in general. Your life matters, right? The decisions you make matter. They have a ripple effect.
Yeah. And the message is powerful. Don't get me wrong. Like, I do love a message like this.
Yeah.
Like, just the idea that, like, you have to keep moving. You have to keep pushing. Things are going to be hard, but there are also going to be times of joy. I think that is such a beautiful, beautiful message.
Yeah.
But I just stand on it. I feel like this would have been better with a different character, I think. And that's just that's where I stand on that. But
I think also, like, with Lucas's heart condition, remember he made the choice to not take his medication before the state championship game. And I think, as a rebuttal to what you just said, like, he was making an active choice there not to take the medication, not really valuing his life in that moment. Like, he wanted to win more than he, like, wanted to be healthy.
Okay, I mean, I can see that, but is that what the show wants us to think? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know if the show really wants us to put weight on the heart medicine, like, but maybe it does, and I'm just not saying it, but listeners, who do you agree with? Are you Team Jeremy or Team Caitlin? Let us know.
All right.
But the episode, so the opening voiceover for this is a classic Lucas voiceover. Have you ever wondered what marks our time here? If one life could really make an impact on the world, or if the choices we make matter? Sometimes in order to move forward, you have to go back. In this case, just a few minutes. And then we basically have, like, a retread of the end of the last episode, which, the one thing I will say that's, like, interesting, you know, because we see the same exact scene where Haley is talking to Nathan, like, right before she gets hit by the car. She says, we're going to be fine. In the last episode, that was, like, irony, because turns out they're not fine.
Yeah.
But in this episode, if you know what happens at the ends, it's foreshadowing, because they are fine in the ends. So it's kind of interesting to see, like, that line, like, mean two different things in two separate episodes.
Oh, yeah, I didn't pick up on that, but that is true.
Mm-hmm.
We also don't typically get episodes in One Tree Hill that include so much of a recap at the beginning.
Or the same exact scenes.
The same scenes.
And honestly, I feel like that's just because there's not a lot there in this episode. There's not a lot of content, so they have to, like, pad it with, like, footage from previous episodes.
Or do you think they were, you know, trying to catch up viewers if they didn't see the last episode?
Yeah, but there's previously, I mean, there isn't a previously on for this episode, but...
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot, I mean, a lot did happen, though, in the last episode.
That's what I mean,
so,
yeah.
But, which, by the way, I know this because I just edited our episode on season 4, episode 9, yesterday. We never specified the fact that Dante is very much dead. So, Dante is totally dead, way dead, not just a little dead. Dan is taking the fall for it.
Yeah. We never said that, really.
We never said that he died. We just said, like, oh, Nathan punched Dante and Dan is taking the fall. That's all we said.
Oh, my God.
If you watch the episode, you know that he's dead. But it's just so funny that, like, we never mentioned that he is very much dead.
Wow.
But anyway, so I just wanted to call us out on that because I just thought that was kind of funny. And I'm like, are we ever going to fucking say that he died?
I think sometimes we don't state the obvious because we know it in our head.
Exactly.
Oops. Sorry, listeners.
Which, speaking of, like, some apologies to the listeners, I do want to say real quickly, you know, I just moved into my new apartment, as I've said in the episode before this one, or the episode before that, I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, my apartment is very echoey, because it's a big studio, and the audio isn't necessarily up to par, so I apologize for that. I'm gonna try to figure out a workaround for that, but till then, I appreciate you, understand it, and I appreciate your patience.
And also, disclaimer, it's very windy here right now, so there's kind of a stormy vibe going on in the background.
Which kind of works for this episode, I guess.
I guess so. Oh my God.
That's where Caitlin is. Caitlin's not at my apartment, by the way. Yes. I don't know if people know that we record this separately over video call.
Yes. All right, do we want to get into the record store guy?
Oh, God. Max, the creator and showrunner, which, Hillary is eating him up in this scene, because she's a trained actor.
Yeah, you wouldn't know the tension that existed in real life.
Yeah. Right, but she is a trained actor, and she's, like, she's chewing him up in the scene. Like, he's just not good.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder why he inserted himself into episodes of the show. I don't know.
Well, Hillary has went on the record and said that it was because, like, he just wanted an excuse to talk to her.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a stupid reason.
Yeah, like, it's very narcissistic and shitty. Also, I found it really funny that, like, his character says, like, oh, I'm 32 and live with my parents. And I'm like, dude, you are not 32.
I know.
He was 40 when he was filming this. I mean, back when I watched this as a teen, I totally bought, yeah, 32. Now I'm like, no, like, we're similar ages. We know he's not 32.
Yeah.
Also, Go ahead.
You go.
All right. I mean, I was just about to make a really bad joke. Like, I hate that my hair kind of looks like his right now.
Jeremy.
Because I'm growing out my hair, and I'm like, oh no, do I look like him?
I wasn't even thinking that.
Okay. Well, thank you. My hair looks better, right?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, thank you. I started seeing a new hairstylist.
Excellent. It's curlier, I think.
Okay. He doesn't. He's doing a good job. His shout out to Tim. Thank you, Tim, for making it look good. But
anyway,
but I'm gonna really go out of my way to make sure I don't look like this guy. Anyway,
having this character, like, I understand what, like, these scenes were getting at with, well, the scene with Peyton trying to get her to, like, have faith and believe that things will be okay, and then, like, pointing her to the record with non-believer on there.
Did she do that research, though? Yeah,
that's playing in the background.
Yes, non-believer is track 10 on their album, yeah. The Truth.
So, like, I get what it was trying to do, but, like, was it really necessary in this episode? Was that a scene that was needed? I don't know. What about you?
I mean, I agree. I mean, I would have liked to see more Peyton and Brooke here.
Uh-huh.
Like, how cool would it have been to see, like, Brooke and Peyton go into a record store together and, like, Brooke offer, like a song or something like that?
Yeah. Agreed.
I mean, I have nothing left to say about this guy, but do you want to move on to talk about Brooke and Peyton?
I don't have really anything else to say either. Just one other note, like, in one of the quick scenes, the record store guy, Max, is also in it with Nathan in the alternate reality where Nathan comes in and breaks up Haley's record.
Uh-huh.
That's when Keith is explaining to Lucas that they never got back together.
Yeah.
So there's two different, like, little storylines that he's in.
Which that alternate reality is so funny. And I'm like, Nathan, you're still giving Haley money by buying this record and then breaking it. You're still giving her money. Why are you doing that? If you're that pissed off, uh-huh, don't give somebody money.
Yeah, why would you buy it?
I'm going to buy it just to break it.
Oh my God. But yes, we can totally move on to Brooke and Peyton.
Yes.
Because that is way more interesting.
So, I really love that these two are coming together. I love that Brooke is the one who drives Peyton to the hospital.
I know. Are we going to talk about the scene under the bridge first?
Well, I mean, that happens at the beginning, so, you know, that's, yeah, we can talk about the bridge, yeah.
First off, I love the bridge. We get to see a full view of it, which we usually don't get to see, and then it goes down below it where Peyton is, and Brooke finds her and says the last time that they were down there was after Peyton's mom died, which was 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a spot where Ellie used to watch them as kids.
Yep.
So it has significance for them.
Yeah. And just the fact that, like, you know, Brooke just knows, like, exactly where Peyton's going to be. And she knows that, like, Peyton needs some comfort, despite, like, some of the bad blood that's between the two of them right now. It's just really powerful. These two love each other so much.
I know. And it's heartbreaking because it's like you can feel that love there. And then at the same time, there's all this. There's so much that has happened, so much that can't be taken back. And then Peyton asks that question, that can we be friends again? And
Brooke says, sure.
And then
Peyton's like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like before. Then Brooke's like, I'm sorry, Peyton. Like before is gone. So she's putting up a boundary, which, I mean, I can respect that, but it's still so, so sad. It's like they're just within reach of each other.
Yeah, they did that scene really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was really well done.
Yep.
So we're moving in a good direction, at least. Everyone else is hanging in the balance, but at least, like, this is kind of bringing them back together. And then we get to see them visiting Lucas and Haley in the hospital because they're still unconscious.
Peyton visits Haley, and Brooke visits Lucas, and Peyton is telling Haley that that Haley has to be there for Brooke, and then Brooke visits Lucas and says that he has to be there for Peyton, and, you know, just saying that, like, oh, like, you know, you're good together, et cetera, et cetera, and both of them say, and it's just like a side-by-side shot, who said, oh, could you not tell her we have this conversation? Thanks.
Yeah.
So they're secretly really coming to bat for each other, and it's just, this is a breakup right here that's, like, just so sad.
I know. And,
you know, friend breakups are just, like, just as, if not more sad than, like, a romantic breakup. And I just really felt that here. Like, this is a highlight of the episode for me. Like, you know, everything with Brooke and Ben is so good for me.
Yeah, it's a good example, like, these hospital scenes, it's a good example of, like, showing and not telling. Like, you get to see these characters having these conversations, and it's literally revealing how they feel about each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the care that they still have for each other. So, I think that was just well done overall.
Yeah. And so, yeah, on another note, too, I forgot to mention this earlier, but I've been saying, like, for the past few episodes about how I like that these storylines are showing Peyton's vulnerability a little bit. Like, she's so willing to, like, let people in despite all the trauma that she's gone through. And I feel like that's even being illustrated by her reaching out to Brooke. Like, the fact that, like, she actually says to Brooke, like, I miss you, Brooke. Can we be friends again? Like, Peyton from, like, last season, or, like Peyton from season one or season two, she would never have, like, reached out.
Yeah.
So the fact that she really is, like, going out of her way to say, like, hey, like, I love you and I care about you. Can we go back to the way things were? Like, I have a much deeper appreciation for Peyton's journey than I feel like I ever did.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Sorry, I don't think I have anything else to say.
I'm just, like, reflecting. Yeah. Like, honestly, like, this is, like... That's how I feel. I feel like there's, like, a lot of moments where I'm like, that was good. Let's abruptly change the subject.
Let's do it, because we're good at that.
So, Haley, the doctors are doing everything they can. They're not sure if the baby will make it. She eventually wakes up. I feel like that's really it. To it.
Yeah, and then there's some stuff in the coda that we'll get to.
Yeah.
Later. Mm-hmm.
And then we see Dan is in jail with his cast, which Paul Johansson had a hand injury, as we mentioned in the last episode. So he got to conveniently wear a cast for his character as well. Nathan visits him, and Nathan tries to say, like, you know, Dad, you didn't kill anybody.
I know, because it's like Nathan feels bad that his dad's taking the fall for, like, what he did in punching Dante. But, like, as the audience, it's so complex because, like, it's the audience, we know what we know. And that Dan, in fact, does deserve to be there, not for Dante, but for Keith. And it's heartbreaking because you get to see Nathan, like, he tells his dad he loves him and, like, he's appreciative of what he's doing. And it's like, oh my gosh. It kills you to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Because these two characters, you know, they have had so much between them from the beginning of the series. Like, their relationship has never really been good. And, like, now we're seeing, like, this tender moment where Nathan says he loves him and
Dan's really coming to bat for him here. Yeah, it's something I feel like Nathan never really got to experience.
Yeah, Dan is trying to protect him. So it's like, it's tough to watch as a viewer, knowing what we know. But at the same time, it's like, wow, like, I like to see these characters have a good relationship. They should have a good relationship.
That makes the Dan character very, very complicated.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And then we get to see in the jail cell, I don't know why I said that weird.
No, keep that in. Because that's like a running thing with you not being able to say jail cell.
What? As soon as I said
If you remember, that happened like, I don't know, season one or season two, we had a little blooper where you could not say jail cell. So no, we're keeping that in.
Why do I say that weird? As soon as I This seems way too familiar.
Anytime there's a jail cell, like, in the show, we are going to have Caitlin talk about it specifically.
Because... I'm not going to be able to collect myself. Oh, God. Okay. We're about to talk about a serious part, too. Okay.
Are you talking about the fact when Keith visits Dan in his, or Ghost Keith visits Dan in his what, Caitlin?
Jail cell. There, I said it.
Congrats.
This is like a wild part of this episode because, like, basically you're getting to see, because so far this season, like, Dan has had Kid Keith haunting him. You know, and now we actually see Keith, adult Keith, making him feel guilty.
Because they decided to give Craig Sheffer a paycheck.
I know. Yeah. Yes. That is valid. And yeah, so he's making Dan feel guilty. And then Dan is like, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? And then we see Keith say, I forgive you. And I can't really tell if, like, this is supposed to be real. Like, does Keith actually forgive him? Or, I don't know. What did you think about that scene?
Or is this Dan's psyche?
Yes.
Because, like, well, because it ends with, like, when Keith said, but hell won't.
I know. And you get to see his face all, like, with blood coming,
like,
out,
blood
of his mouth
out of his
and
eyes.
All gross.
Yeah.
So that was wild.
I think that's just trying to tell, like, that's like Dan's way of processing his emotions. But I say he doesn't deserve forgiveness. That's why I keep saying, shut up. And he says, like, regardless, even if people do forgive him, because also you see that Keith, like, was telling Dan, like, oh, she's never going to love you, Danny, talking about Karen. And I feel like Dan is trying to process all this by saying that, like, no matter who forgives him, even if Karen does love him, regardless, like, he still did what he did. And he is still, you know, I don't want to get, like, too deep into, like, the religious territory with that, but he's still going to go to hell. And whatever that means for Dan, that's what that means.
Yeah. So it's like, it's not actually Keith. Even though Keith is a visitor in this whole episode, but really with Lucas, this scene with Dan, it's almost like what it's been. Yeah, you're right. His psyche, or like his guilt, is in his mind and he can't get it out, type thing. I don't know if we can really take these scenes as like a true Keith's ghost is visiting Dan necessarily.
Can we take it that Keith's ghost is really visiting Lucas too, though?
I know, but I feel like the Dan scenes are a little bit different.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if that really was Keith who was visiting Lucas, he could have just told, hey, Lucas, by the way, Dan killed me. So I really feel like this is, like, both of their ways of, like, trying to, like, process, like, everything.
True, yeah.
Like, even, like, you know, even what happens in Dakota with Lucas, you know, when Keith's saying, like, open your eyes, like, Lucas, I feel like, is trying to figure out that, like, there is more to what happened the day of the school shooting that he just doesn't know yet, that there's something that he repressed.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, now that's a good point. That is a good point.
I do like the idea of, like, the idea that this actually is Keith.
I know, yeah. I think, in a way, maybe it could be kind of both, but that is true. Like, it is kind of coming out of Lucas's subconscious, where he's just kind of being, you know, how you can have weird dreams where you think of certain things or are reminded of certain things. So it can kind of be viewed like that. I feel like this whole episode, even though, like, we have Keith's ghosts, it's not trying to be religious in any way, because you even see a scene with Lucas asking Keith, I think on more than one occasion, like, is there heaven? Like, what comes after, type thing? Mm-hmm. And Keith doesn't give those answers. So they're trying to remain neutral, I guess.
It would be nice to get all these answers.
Yeah, it would be nice.
It's like, damn it, I need a dead relative to visit me. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. But shall we talk about, like, some of, like, you know, the Keith Lucas Vision Quest tales?
Sure. There was actually one thing I wanted to mention. This was, like, earlier in the episode with Keith and Lucas, and they were standing at the bridge where, like, Nathan had the accident and everything, mm-hmm. and where he believed that he saw Keith and Keith saved him. And Keith actually clarifies that with Lucas, which I didn't really remember. Like, I didn't really remember this scene.
I remember it. But why is Keith telling Lucas this? You know,
I
feel like this all goes back to, like, you know, wouldn't it have been great for Nathan to have this realization, for him to find out from Keith's ghost, you know?
Yeah, that would have been nice, for sure. And Keith says, most people are stronger than they know. So, in fact, Keith was not there, but Nathan was the one who saved himself. And the other people, Uncle Cooper and everything. Yep.
There's no ghosts. There are no ghosts in Tree Hill.
But there is.
well,
in this episode.
Yeah. If those are real ghosts.
I like the idea of Keith being the guide. I understand, like, this is probably all in Lucas's head, but I like the idea of a loved one kind of giving you a message. I'm not a religious person either, but I do like that idea.
Right. But if this is all Lucas's head, does that mean he's, like, all coming to the realization? Like, hey, you know what? I'm pretty great. Which is great for self-confidence.
That's what I mean. Like, I feel like it can be both. Like, Keith is actually a guide in this episode. But, like, what you were saying, how Lucas is kind of working it out in his brain. Like, what am I missing? Like, what piece to the school shooting do I not have? Also, I don't know. I can kind of see it in both ways. So that's okay, what I'm going to go with.
So, but as far as, like, Keith and Lucas's vision quest is concerned, as we talked earlier, Haley never came back from the tour. One thing I do want to note about this is that Haley met Chris Keller because she was working with Peyton at Trick. Haley got introduced to Peyton because she was friends with Lucas. So if Lucas ever existed, Haley never would have met Peyton.
You're thinking about it too hard.
I know, but I'm just pointing stuff out, okay?
Yeah.
We also see a goth Brooke.
Which?
Brooke is all gothic because Peyton is dead. And the thing I find so funny about this, though, is that, like, wouldn't Peyton have made Brooke goth by being alive? I don't know. Like, I find it hard to believe that, like, she wouldn't still be, like, I don't know, a cheerleader. Like, a sad cheerleader, of course, but I find it hard to believe she would, like, change her whole personality.
Yeah, I mean, I never really expected to see a goth Brooke. That is, like, totally not in the vibe.
She looks good.
How I would ever envision Brooke in any scenario.
Unless, like, maybe this is her way of, like, paying respect for Peyton by being like, oh, like, Peyton dressed like this, kind of. I can dress like this now. I don't know.
Some of these are a little extreme. I will admit that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of them, for sure.
Also, we see on Peyton's gravestone that she died on March 1st, 2006. So here we go. That's a detail. That's when the school shooting happens.
Oh my god. Yeah, they're still going along with the March date, and we're in season 4.
But if you pay attention during the episode after the school shooting in season 3, Lucas has a text message on January 27th. So
very confusing.
The continuity department, not good here. Also, Peyton was born on July 12th, 1988. What would her zodiac sign be? Is she a Leo?
Didn't it say in 1989?
It was 1988.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, she's not a Leo. What comes before that?
I don't know anything about the signs. I just know mine.
Oh, my God. Okay, now, what is Peyton Zodiac?
Okay, we're going down this rabbit hole.
Yes, we are. So, sorry, like, I thought this was going to be, like, a really, like, you know, easy answer, and it's apparently not. Is she a Gemini? Okay, June 25th. She's Cancer. Don't ask me what that means.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, I think that's July, yeah. Cancer's usually July, or most of it.
Oh, I thought you were about to say, like,
No, I don't know anything about the signs.
You do your best socializing in small groups, prefer intimate relationship, even if it means your social circle's on the smaller side. Your creative spirit will bring joy to all you meet. That's Cancer. That tracks, actually!
Yeah.
She socializes best in small groups. She has a creative spirit.
Which we were just going to talk about. Peyton's sketches was the other scene, but we really covered that earlier, so I don't think we need to get in depth about that.
We also return to the school. Keith brings Lucas to the scene of the crime with both Keith's body and Jimmy's body, like, laying there.
That's so not Colin Ficus.
I don't think that's Craig Sheffer either, for no. the
Which, why wouldn't it be? Because, I don't know.
Craig Sheffer couldn't be in two places at once.
Can't they do that, though?
I mean, they can, but it's probably just easier to just have a stunt double just lay there.
Probably, yeah.
I'm like, at that point, if you're not going to see his face, like, just, you know, have somebody else, like, stand in for him, wear the same clothes. But yeah, Lucas is, like, really, like, traumatized. He's like, he doesn't want to be there. And Keith is trying to tell him, like, hey, like, there's more to this. Which we'll get into a little bit more of that with Dakota. And then at the end, we also see that Lucas is also dead. And then there is a... This is, like, the future, like, the reality that we're currently in. And Peyton, and much, much older Peyton, is visited Lucas's grave. And apparently she grows old and can never let go of Lucas. Honestly, that is just sad to me. Not sad in, like, a tragic way, but I'm like, really? You couldn't move on from the guy that you could have been with and he died? Like, I'm sorry, but...
Yeah, that's a lot of years. You're really hating on this episode.
It doesn't work for me. and I don't know, I feel like there's just so much... There's so much, like, idealism right there, because it's like, oh, God, the love of your life dies. Like, you know, you can never be with anybody ever, ever again. And I just don't think that's, like, healthy. I don't think that's a healthy mentality for teenagers to say. I feel like if you see someone like this, you're thinking, like, oh, God, like, you know, this is the love of your life. You can never move on after that. I just don't like that.
Yeah, I think you're thinking about it too hard again.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's where I stand on it. Shall we talk about the Dakota?
So, Non-Believer by LaRocca plays, which is the song that Max told Peyton to find on the album and listen to.
Yes.
And we heard it earlier in the episode, and now we're hearing it again at the end.
Which is interesting. The song plays twice in the episode.
Yes, it is. But I feel like, you know... The whole point of this is to, like, the song's a non-believer, and I think the whole episode is, like, making you believe that things are going to be okay in the end, and that, like, your life matters. So I think the theme of that fits perfectly in the moment.
I feel you. But we are kicked off with the exterior of Karen's Cafe, and this is, like, after, like, Keith, like, resuscitates Lucas in the dream world, and then, we see, like, Lucas is now alive, his heart is beating on the street, and we see Keith's ghost tell Lucas, it's okay, Lucas, just breathe, it's going to be okay, which kind of mirrors the school shooting, how he's saying that to Jimmy.
Yeah, you're right.
Just made that connection.
Yeah, you're totally right, wow.
And especially considering to think, like, you know, both characters, both Lucas and Jimmy, are both, like, thinking to themselves that, like, hey, I'm better off, like, not existing. And, you know, Keith being the voice of reason is pretty powerful, actually. There's some things that work in this episode, Caitlin. I'm not going to act like they don't all work.
Okay. Next, we're in Dan's jail cell. And Dan is sitting on the floor. Kind of cool. just
chilling.
Contemplating everything.
Contemplating what's going on. Like, oh no, I killed my brother and now I'm taking the fall for my son's murder.
It's complicated.
Then we're in Haley's hospital room and the doctor is like trying to see if they can hear a heartbeat on the baby. And they do! And Nathan and Haley kiss and they are crying happy tears.
That's a good moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're in Lucas's hospital room. Peyton is sleeping right beside him. And then you see Brooke kind of look through the window of the door. And she sees Peyton there with Lucas. So she decides not to go in.
I wonder what was going through her mind there. Like, was she just thinking, like...
Just let them be together. Give them space, I guess.
Which, another good example of showing but not telling.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that she's, like, really willing to, like... Like, put everything aside and just, like, let those two be happy together. Because she knows the two of them are good together at the end of the day.
Yep.
Then we are in Lucas's hospital room. And then we see a montage of, like, a bunch of scenes from the episode. And we kind of have, like, a mirror of the opening voiceover. With Lucas saying, "Have you ever wondered what marks our time here? If one life can really make an impact on the world? Or if the choices we make matter? I believe they do. And I believe that one man can change many lives, for better or worse."
And then we're back at the scene of the shooting, and Keith tells Lucas to open his eyes and open his heart to think about what really happened. And you hear that over and over again. "Open your eyes, Luke. Open your eyes." And then we see Lucas in the hospital bed, and he opens his eyes. In a close-up scene, and then the episode ends. So yep. What will happen next? Everyone's awake.
So, what was your favorite quote of the episode?
I love Lucas's voiceover at the end. So what you just read. I'm not going to read it again.
Okay.
I think that, like, I like that part of it was at the beginning, and then... You know, they repeat it again at the end with a little bit more. The line, "And I believe that one man can change many lives for better or worse." Which I think sums everything up. Like, you know, Keith highlights some of the good things that Lucas did. And then obviously we know the bad things that Dan did. So, like, all of these decisions and choices that the characters have made ultimately affect other people's lives and the world. So, I just feel like that really summarized the whole theme of the episode nicely. What about you?
My favorite is what Keith says to Lucas. He says, "Well, Luke, that's up to you. Your future right now it's unwritten. But I want you to understand, if you go back, there are going to be tough times, you know? Some heartache and pain, but there's also going to be love, laughter, and life full of accomplishment. It's up to you." And that's a really great message to hear.
Well, that's a really good one, yeah. And I love that repeated line at the end, "Open your eyes, Luke. Open your eyes, Luke." That always stands out in my mind from this episode.
Yeah. And it's like, what is Lucas going to notice here?
Yeah.
Like, it's powerful shit.
It is. What about your...
My favorite musical moment is the coda.
Yes, same.
Cool.
I mean, it fits the moment perfectly.
So what is your rating for the episode overall?
So I give the episode 4 out of 5 Ghosts of the Past.
I give it 3 out of 5 It's a Wonderful Life homages. It's not a horrible episode.
Three out of five.
Yeah. It's not horrible. There are a lot of great things at work. Like, Brooke and Peyton, like, I want to see more of this.
I know. Agreed.
And really, it's just going down because the Lucas stuff doesn't work for me. I'm sorry. I just got to speak my truth.
Yeah. Well, I think everyone knows my thoughts. I liked it overall. I guess I wasn't thinking about it as critically maybe as you were. I just liked the overall theme and message and how it's overall Keith is what is bringing Lucas to think about the events of the school shooting. So I like how like, his life hanging in the balance and considering, like, what he's brought to the world, whether you agree what he's done or not, whatever. And then ultimately it, like, ties, I don't know, I thought it was as well crafted, like, it ties it into the school shooting and, like, getting Lucas to think about it. So I thought that was clever, personally. But hopefully people are interested in hearing our two very different opinions.
And I'd like to know, are you Team Caitlin or Team Jeremy? Did this episode work for you? Explain why, like,
send us a, what emojis? Let's do, like, hearts or something. I'm a purple heart.
You're a purple heart.
Yeah, so what are you?
Oh my god, what should I be? So purple heart for Caitlin, if you agree with her. For me, send a sword emoji.
A sword, okay.
I don't know, that's speaking to me right now.
I feel like we haven't done the emoji thing in a while.
We have not. But please, let us know.
Yes, I want to know.
Anyway, let's wrap this up, Caitlin. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Always and Forever. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at AlwaysOTHPod. You can also email us at alwaysothpod@gmail.com. That's always OTHPOD.
Always and Forever is also on Patreon, which to the tune of $1 or more a month, you can support us at patreon.com/alwaysothpod, and you can gain access to our Discord server where you can chat with us and other listeners, bonus episodes, including our spoiler full mini episodes, our Drama Queens reaction podcast, Royal Review, and our movie podcast, Baker Soundstage, plus early episode releases.
And we have some fun stuff in the works for our spoiler-full episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
It's pretty cool.
But if you can't support us on Patreon, you can also leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That's the easiest way to support us and to help One Tree Hill fans new and old find us. And if you leave us a review, we may read it on the show. We will definitely read it on the show.
We will at this point. Like, we're desperate. Please say nice things about us. Only if it's 5 stars, though. We don't want anything less than that. If you're going to leave us a 1-star review, like, seriously, get a life. And, like, you, like, I don't know. Like, why did you listen all the way to the end, for one thing?
Honestly. Anyway. I'm Caitlin Olenich. You can follow me on Twitter, maybe, at Miss I Reads.
I am Jeremy Rodriguez, and you can follow me on that site as well, at Rodriguez Jeremy. You can also follow me on Instagram, at Rodriguez Jeremy _. Threads is also the same. You can also follow me on Blue Sky. And I don't know. What else can people follow me on? I don't know. Twitch.
Oh my god, Jeremy.
PlayStation.
Let the people go.
This episode's short, and I'm like trying to pad the runtime.
It's because you didn't like the episode. That's why it's short.
Oh my god. Wow. We'll be seeing ya.
Calling you out. Yup. We'll be seeing ya.